Radio X.
This is the 427 thing. I think we can still call it that, even though Johnny's not here. He's covering Moyles in the morning. But I am here with Matt Morgan, producer Neil, and producer Vin. It's an all new lineup for what I think is now traditionally called Drive Time, Matt.
Yeah, it was called that before, wasn't it?
You did work with large Neil Finn. He's a Neil Finn?
Neil Finn.
I was like,
Crowded House.
That would be a turn up for the books, wouldn't it? Big Neil borrowed from your previous show. Yeah. What was the relationship like the last time with Neil when you used to do radio with him?
Frosty.
Yeah.
I'll be honest. No, it was good. He produced the Russell Brand show that I was a sidekick, I suppose you'd say, on.
Yeah.
And he was very good.
I was hearing that it was quite a fragrant studio back in those days. Is that right?
Yeah, Russell's a committed vegetarian.
I'm glad to see that you both observed the old rules of being naked from the waist down as well.
Oh, of course, yeah.
Because it looks perfectly normal from where I'm standing, but every now and again somebody walks past the window and looks surprised.
Well, at least I'm sure we were always filmed on that show. It was live. It was like live.
With your permission.
Live. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. Not really.
Yeah, this is filmed as well, isn't it?
But this isn't live, is it? No one's watching us now.
Finn, producer Finn?
People, very powerful people. Not the public.
Oh, that's worrying.
Powerful
but
people.
The elite.
Yeah. The elite.
The Illuminati.
Oh, no, we've already started them. What a conspiracy theory. Matt, you told me the other day you've been watching Night Fight.
It's Night Fight.
Tell me, talk me through this Night Fight.
I mean, it's quite self-explanatory, but I don't know what I was watching on YouTube, and it suggested it to me, and YouTube suggestions are spookily accurate sometimes. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that?
Oh, massively, yeah.
Weirdly.
Yeah, frighteningly. They listen to you.
But they're also skewed by, like, my kids who watch stuff on my phone, so it offers, you know, Peppa Pig type stuff. Which you know I hate. Night Fights is, it looks like UFC,
yeah,
but they're wearing full armour and have blunt weapons, but like swords, and, you know, it looks properly violent, and they're in a, like, a ring.
You should explain Night Fights with a K, obviously.
K-N-I-G-H-T. Yeah.
So what kind of, is it a national sport? Is it like an international arena?
Yeah, well, the one, I only watched a few of them, but then I put some on Instagram,
yeah,
and somebody said, oh, you should watch the 12, like, there's 12 versus 12, Russia versus Ukraine. It's like, it looks like it's like a county fair or something.
Yeah.
It's got a fence around it, and there's just 12 men in armour, like proper, you know, steel armour and weapons, beating the, you know, what out of each other, and then you're dead when you fall on the floor. That's the rules.
Yeah.
So, like, you could just run around pushing people over because they're in suits of armour. They're just so top heavy.
A last man standing operation here.
Probably would do better without a weapon because you could just, like, body slam people. But it looks really violent. But I was reading the comments, I was thinking, people must have, like, concussion and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, but apparently the armour is stronger than the weapon sort of thing. So it's, like, a special modern version of the armour.
So what kind
of,
the one I saw you posted was in a ring, like a normal boxing ring.
Yeah, it's like the UFC thing. But now I'm down a proper rabbit hole. And quite addictive.
This
and they have, like, the camera, they have, like, GoPros on their helmets, right?
Yeah.
Yes. And they, as they rush into battle, it looks really, this looks almost like a video game.
Do you think this week we could get you an audition for Night Fights UK?
I don't think I want one. It's really violent.
But you've already worked out your
technique. I'll tell you what, I'd like to wear, if someone's got one, a suit of armour.
Yes.
Just to know the heft of it. See if I could, because apparently, like, you watch these guys and they sort of, it's like, you don't remember, like, reenactment people, but they were just sort of like nerdy guys. I would imagine that's how they talk.
That's the noise, yeah.
And they would sort of, you know, like, that's the wrong halberd, and things like that.
Yeah.
But this is just like, they look like violent thugs who, I mean, it costs about $8,000 to buy a suit of armour, so they've obviously invested.
It costs?
Yeah, it's a lot of money. Yeah, and they get dented in.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to get ruined. But, it's. I think it should be, I'd watch that more than the Olympics.
Right, so you're talking about the YouTube algorithm that works out what you're watching.
Yeah.
What on earth have you been, like, Knight Rider combined with just conventional fighting?
It's more intelligent than just words. It's more intelligent than you.
Well, clearly.
This is Radio X.
Now, Matt Morgan came in to spend the week with us about, what was that, 5-6 weeks ago, something like that?
A month ago, I think.
And I introduced you, Matt, to a thing called the Influence Room, because you've got this big old following, right? 20,000 people on Instagram, @Matt_Morgan, all one word, all lowercase, and in letters.
So you're good at that sort of stuff. I wouldn't have even thought that.
Yeah, well, that's where he is. Fine, go and have a look at him, because you're really good on there, Matt, because it's as you are in the real world, you appear on there with the same humour. But I think you could probably make a bit more out of it. You can make a nice little sideline out of this, Matt.
I've tried, mate. I've got no shame. But so Gordon invited me to this thing. Can we say it?
Yeah,
you said
go for
it already.
It.
The Influence Room, it's called, right? But you have to have a certain amount of followers. You have to have some sort of standing, don't you?
Yeah.
You have to be like, you know, some celebrity.
You have to be a Mason.
Somebody who stands near celebrities.
Yeah.
And yeah, so I joined it, and then it's good because it like lists things. It goes, you can have this for free or this or this. And then so you say, well, I'm interested in this. And then they tell you what they need from you, right? And I wanted a bag of these people.
Yeah.
And then I said, I'd like one of those bags. But I said it in a sort of, I could carry my laptop into town, but I could also go to the countryside with it or something like that. So I'd already started too early with the sort of influencer talk, And then they sent me an email after, you know, a bit of a to-do. And this is what they wanted, right? One dedicated tagged post. Well, I could do that.
That's not a problem.
You could slip that into your normal, I just bought this bag. Do you have to declare it? You do, don't you now?
Well, no, it's very loose on that kind of thing. If it's genuine, you know, if you love the bag, not a problem.
Right, so you don't have to go, they sent me this, right?
If it was written in your style and blends in, no problem.
So that was, I could do that. Yeah. But then, two Instagram stories. I've never done an Instagram story.
What a great way to break your duck, though.
Yeah, but people would think I'd lost my mind. I'd suddenly gone, here's me and my new bag doing it. I've never done it before.
Well, I'd like to cast your mind back to Adagio Tees, Matt Mott.
Yeah, well, no, but I sort of, that was ironic. I wanted this bag.
Right, you're okay.
Nothing against Adagio Tees. One feed post, part of an outfit. So I'd have to dress up, put the bag on, and go, just popping out wearing these clothes with my old bag. I'd look like I'd gone mad.
But the last time you came in, right, we had two or three guests on the show. There was a perfect opportunity when you brought up that massive conundrum about whether it should be fabric or wool if you're working in the special forces.
Yes.
That might have been an opportunity to say, well, I actually wear this bag here, which is a combination of both synthetic and natural fibres.
Yeah, it's waxed canvas, which is a natural thing, right?
There you go,
it's
man.
Very waterproof. I could have sold these bags in a market day and night.
But you've got to be more versatile about it. I think we should, this week, let's set ourselves a challenge of getting you to be the official bag man of that particular brand.
I think when it comes down to it, you just think, well, I'll just buy a bag. I didn't even, it wasn't a bag I would have bought particularly.
Yeah.
I just thought, oh, it's a free bag. And then you realise, like, I would look a bit mad if I suddenly just started to, and everyone would just go, what? You know, like, this isn't real. You're just...
But you've got to have a thick skin about that, haven't you, Matt?
So if someone sends you something free, you just wear it in a photograph and then you say, and this shirt was by these people.
Exactly.
I'd feel so dirty doing that.
Would you?
Well,
listen,
a little bit.
Again, I cast your mind back to Adagio Tees.
Yeah.
It wasn't
I saw that
there.
You wore a pink sort of raincoat the other day, which... all the comments were like people liking that pink raincoat.
Oh, it took a lot of bottle because I was thinking I'm going to get so much stick in the office wearing a pink jacket. It went well.
Yeah, but there's a different, like if I wore that, because that's the sort of thing my daughter would wear to daycare. Not being horrible, but like a sort of pale pink raincoat it looked like. But it's a sort of mod thing, isn't it? There's a crossover there.
Do you know what it is as well though, Matt? I think maybe we're just a little bit too old for that world. And actually, when you find that you post a picture of this magic bag that you're going to get, people might embrace it and go, man, I really like your bag. Well done. Good choice of bag.
Yeah.
And you might just think, well, what was all the fuss about? So this week, let's test it, right? You will be.
This sounded like they wanted me to sort of shoot my own rom-com with me in the bag.
That's not a lot.
Stick it all over social media.
See, I don't think they've asked for a lot for the bag, to be completely honest. You know?
So do you do that? You do this?
A little bit, but I only go for like the particular things. Like, you know, there's some really special stuff on there, like the four flights to San Francisco and in exchange, British Airways. Wasn't a bad one.
I'll tell you what I did see. This is how, you're right, we're too old for this stuff, right? It came up, big thing, assassination vacation. I thought, oh, that's a murder mystery weekend. That's good. Clicked on it. It's the name of Drake's tour.
Radio X.
Let me read you the headline. Proven. Playing hip-hop to cheese makes it taste better.
Come on.
You'll never guess where this story comes from. Scientists in Switzerland have discovered that playing hip-hop to cheese helps improve its taste.
Yes. I mean, I've read this.
Ah, right. You're aware of this?
I'm aware of this study.
Okay.
It was undertaken by a team at the Bern University of Arts, working ceaselessly alongside Swiss cheesemaker Beat Wampfler.
It's described as a daring study.
Daring? Yeah, well...
Well, gout is a danger at all times, isn't it?
But like... Right, first of all, this is a PR stunt to promote their cheese, and we're doing their job for them,
correct?
Aren't we? Because we're talking about it.
Well, you're an influencer,
I've just said Beat Wampfler. I've said it twice now.
Yeah.
But scientists, this is what, like, there's always these silly studies, right, and these things, and it's just sort of like a little bit of fun or whatever, but it's not fun. No. There's a victim. There are many victims. Scientists, right? I don't know if they've remembered, but there's global warming, cancer. There's a few things that would
did
probably
focus on. Yeah.
Yeah, come before playing music to cheese to see if it changes its flavour. Like, and they didn't just do it for like a day and then laugh about it and publish it. It's like the experiment involved 9 22-pound wheels of Emmental cheese placed. I mean, it's a big proper thing. They played it music on a 24-hour loop.
Yeah.
They had a control cheese that was in silence. Like, that's a lot of work. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of stuff. How's that benefiting humanity?
Of course the cheese was in silence as well. What other state would it be in? It wouldn't have its headphones.
Like every bit of cheese you've ever eaten was probably made in silence. Yeah. Or some background noise. It's not like they always have music playing for cheese. And it's just ridiculous.
So it says here, the team found that hard rock such as Led Zeppelin or even classical greats such as Mozart delivered milder flavours, Matt.
But how?
For something with
it's
a bit more
strength. It's not culturally aware, the cheese, is it? It's not like, oh, that's hard rock. Oh, that's like blues, but oh, I feel like this. I'm changing my flavour. It's the only thing it can experience music as is a vibration.
For something with a bit more strength, it seems, you need to reach for hip-hop, providing a staunch, flavoursome cheese. Now, if anything's advised as staunch and flavoursome, I'll pass, thanks. Yeah. I'm all right for that.
Well, that's so good in cheese, I suppose. But
so here is, we've got the winning track, I think, haven't we?
Yeah, Tribe Called Quest's Jazz We've Got. Here it is. And this produces a remarkably fruity, both in smell and taste, and significantly different from the other samples' cheese. Right? How? It's a lie.
My argument is, anything sounds better. Oh, sorry, everything tastes better when you're listening to music. Do you think?
Yeah, but they don't eat the cheese to music. They play music to the cheese. It's like Prince Charles talking to his tomato
plants.
I see
what you mean. There is a real danger of gout if you eat that. Was it 22-pound wheels of Emmental?
They ate the whole thing just to see if it had changed the flavour.
They're at it, you know.
This is a lie. I don't believe it. I think it's been it's a clever ploy to promote. I'm not even going to say that.
Say it one more time.
Beat
the Vampler. Ah, oh, fantastic. Fair
and
play
because they've got beat in their name, that's why they've done it. See right through it.
A character on Twitter has been in touch called Dome, weirdly. And they say, if you do a sexy dance for a baby bell, it peels itself.
Radio X. If you could get your own scientific experiment funded, what would it be?
Yeah, we got a message from Dome on Twitter earlier on that said, if you do a sexy dance for a baby bell, it strips itself.
Yes.
Quite a lovely thought, that, isn't it? Somebody said sent us a message here. It was Ian from Up Holland says, either my dancing isn't sexy enough or it doesn't work.
Yeah. Stripping your own baby bell is quite a big moment in a child's life, I think.
Do you think?
I mean, yeah, because you have to peel them a baby bell and then there comes a moment where they can actually do the wax and everything. But Mike, I think it must have been Cohen, could do it. Yeah. And I was looking after him and his little friend when we were on holiday and I gave them both a baby bell. I took off the plastic bit, gave them the wax, thinking kids love that bit. The other kid just chewed right through the wax. I think he'd ever seen one before.
You're so middle class, Matt. It wasn't a little cheese string.
He also ate some. We were walking through the woods. We were at Centre Parks, you know, influencer.
God, you're so middle class, Matt.
And there was this, like, I was just, like, telling him a story, and there was all this yellow stuff coming out of a tree, which is, like, disgusting sap. And I went, oh, look, there's some fairy custard. Carried on walking. Look round. He goes, fairy custard's horrible. He'd eaten a huge bit of it. So scared.
We should point out that's incredibly dangerous.
Do not eat fairy custard. This is
Radio X. Wednesday afternoon's often a time for reflection, I find, in life. And it's time, I think, Matt, to ask the all-important question. Hey, Matthew, what do you see? That's so disturbing, isn't it? Can we have that again, Vin?
It's a weird song, wasn't it?
No, Carl Fialka.
What it was all about.
Carl Fialka, Hey, Matthew, a song that haunts me from the 80s.
Hey,
Matthew, what do you
see? A-team, A-team, I see the A-team.
No, I see weakness in myself.
Oh, Matt. How does this weakness show itself?
Well, you know that Foxy came in from, you know, the SAS show.
Jason Fox.
Whenever I watch that show, and I got obsessed with it and watched all of them, like downloaded all of them, watched all the series, I always think, like, oh, I'd love to know. Like, and I know you went through a little bit of the SAS thing for charity, didn't you?
Yeah, like, 24 hours of it, yeah.
Like, so the first bit, the first, like, few days of it, it's like, I think they're there for 7 days or 9 days. It's just physical, like, brutal exercise. So it's like running up mountains and back down. And I just know I'm not fit enough for that. But the mental, like, the stuff at the end where they put, like, bag on your head and put you in a room and you've got earphones on listening to children crying and then they interrogate you. Oh. I'd love to have a go at that bit, right?
You want to do that bit?
Yeah, because to know, like, oh, could I do, like, what would I do? I'd either freak out or I'd go into some other place and, like, you know, in your imagination, you're always thinking, oh, I might be really good at that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then, so I got into that sort of, and I started, I've been working out pathetically. in the last couple of days, just like things, I'm so weak in some ways, right?
Are we talking physically or mentally, man?
Mentally. Right. Well, like today, right? One thing, I've over-clipped this thumbnail. You know when you go past the red bit, the sort of pink bit?
Yeah.
Like, if I touch anything with that thumb, it's hell. It really hurts and it makes me angry and sad, and I was going to put a plaster on it. And then so that's really, it really clashes with my other idea of myself, which is like, I think I'd be really good at it. I think the SAS would go, hey, this guy's got some new ideas.
Matt,
you know, the other thing is, you know when you take a glass of water to bed,
yes,
right? Not like that. You take some water to put on the side of your bed.
To drink.
Like, yeah, I mean, I didn't need to over-explain this.
God, I'm glad you're here, Matt.
You've taken some water to bed, right? Then the next night, you bring up some water and you put that down, right? And then you accidentally drink yesterday's water.
Yes.
I react to that like I've been poisoned. Like, that water's just gone a bit stale, hasn't it?
But
24-hour-old water, I see it as some sort of mad toxin.
See, that is your mind telling you that it's bad for you. It's not at all.
Well, it's not bad for you, but it doesn't taste like it's got a bit, like the oxygen's come out of it or something. It just tastes a bit flat and dead, right?
Right.
And I was like, oh, I drank a bit. Oh, it's yesterday's water. And then sort of felt weird for a while, and then I thought, you are pathetic.
Matt, I think it might not be a good idea for you to enter SAS celebrity version.
If
you've got little dainty fingers.
Yeah, I know. It's weird, isn't it? But like in my head, I think, no, I'd be really good at that. But then, yeah, when things like that, but then maybe it would change me. Maybe afterwards I'd be drinking like 6-month-old water, all my thumbnails all just basically chewed off, just going around.
But Foxy tells a story, right? So he broke the world record with three other men for rowing the Atlantic, right? And he got quite a bad sore in quite an unpleasant place. Remember he told us about this?
Yeah, yeah.
And he had to rely on his friend to apply the ointment to that. Now, I would venture, Matt, that that's the bit I don't think I could cope very well with.
Nah.
Don't look at me like that. You look like you'd enjoy that bit.
Well, it depends. Foxy looks like he might be quite gentle with the application of cream in the mid-Atlantic. No, I don't know. You just, yeah. I think... I mean, why are they? They're different type of people, aren't they?
They are.
I mean, why is he making himself do that stuff? Like, I always think this: if you're in, like, when you're a soldier and it's the war, right? Fine, but then what if you get a cold and you just want to lay in bed? And you have to get up at like 6 when someone's shouting at you, or you've got like a migraine. That's what would happen to me. You'd be going in. It's this thing that we've all planned and everything. We've built a little model of the building we're going to storm, and then I'd go, oh no, I've got a migraine.
Private Morgan.
Hay fever.
You've got your dressing gown on, feeling a little bit fragile.
Radio X.
We've been joined by one of Matt Morgan's celebrity friends. He's at the top of his game. He's omnipresent. He's on just about every telly programme at the moment. He's even the voice of TV shows. Rob Beckett, man.
Hello, thank you very much. It's very exciting to be here.
It's lovely to have you.
That seems sarcastic.
It's true. I just love life, mate. That's my problem. It's cold and wet outside as well, and it was on my way home, so it's worked perfectly for me.
Excellent. And we're going to go. You're going to come to the pub afterwards? Oh, you've got two kids now.
I've got two kids. Well, to be honest,
got two kids. I'm going to the pub.
Well, no, I'd like to, but now you've asked me on air, and actually, there's no danger of my wife listening to this. No offence. She's given up on anything I've put out about 5 or 6 years ago.
What was the regular excuse you use for your missus for a night, a spontaneous night out? It's like, oh, look, it's really important. I've got this meeting about a new show.
It might be, I've got a gig. By the time I get in, I might as well stay over and just get up early and get the train back in the morning. That'd probably be the best way, even though the show finishes, like, you know, very early. But that's what I normally do.
Rob, can I
ask? But this is dangerous, because me and Matt are actually friends.
Yeah.
And I think our wives get on better than we do now.
Yeah.
They've overtaken us.
We met at a party at Jimmy Carr's house.
Of course you did. Of course you did.
Then we found out from talking that we live like about a mile away from each other. But we realised that we needed to make our wives friends, otherwise this would never work.
Yeah.
We made them friends, and now they've overtaken us.
Yeah, to the point where I end up staying in looking after the kids whilst my wife goes out to meet Matt's wife.
Completely backfired.
Then we never see each other. But I was in a very desperate state of because when you first have kids, your friends trickle off.
Oh, they disappear.
And then the ones you have to put up with at the start that you meet throughout NCT.
Oh, you didn't go NCT, Rob, did you?
Oh, yeah. You upgrade from those friends quite quickly, don't you?
Yeah, I do, but I was still very much there. I mean, some of them were all right. Some of them were not. Just, it wasn't meant to be. Yeah. But then we met, and now, but now our wives are run off together, basically, and just left us.
Can I just say, you two boys have painted such a middle-class picture today. Matt's already mentioned Centre Parks.
Oh, has he?
Yeah, it's not that middle-class, Centre Parks.
Oh, it's about 40 million quid for a weekend.
Yeah, but I can tell. It depends when you go. If you go in term time, if you're going in half term, you're absolutely loaded.
Take the kids out of school.
Yeah,
give
it's
them
basically
a story,
the Bransons
practice
there.
The story.
I rest my case.
Yeah. If you go, though, when they're supposed to be in school, that's when it's cheap.
Yeah, right.
That's when you see the real people there.
Yeah. I'll see you there, Rob.
It's cheaper to get fined.
We're talking about
they can't find you anymore, can they?
Can't they?
No, I think
don't
someone
know.
Took
I don't know
them
what
to
the
call.
Rules are.
Yeah. We once got asked to leave Centre Parks when I was younger.
Why?
That's quite a... Well, we managed to acquire alcohol as young men.
Oh, wow.
With some kids from Glasgow.
Oh, you did a lad's holiday then?
Well, no, I was there with my parents. We met some other kids from Glasgow.
The kid?
Yeah, from Glasgow. I was a teenager.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's not a great place for people to behave like rowdy Scottish.
No, it's very, very quiet. I never went as a kid. I used to go Butlins. So the first time I went with my in-laws, I felt like I was cheating on Billy Butlin.
Yeah.
By being there. And I remember going down the rapids, sort of just so like conflicted. I was like, I'm having so much fun, but I should be going down the Butlins plug hole.
We used to go Pontins, which I think is like fake Butlins.
Oh, yeah. We used to go like the cat in the caravans.
Yeah.
We used to do that as
well.
Was
it blue coats as opposed to red coats, isn't it? What was the difference?
Yeah.
Well, Rob, listen, if the comedy career doesn't go brilliantly, you could always return to Butlins.
Yeah, I'll do that. Red coat, you see me. I'll do bingo. I don't bother that. Every career plateaus and trails off. It's just when, isn't it? And when it comes, I'll be ready.
He'd open a Mexican car wash for the right money. So we've established you met at Jimmy Carr's party.
Yeah.
What's a Jimmy Carr party like, lad?
Mad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just lots of famous people, isn't it, really? Yeah. It's fun, though. But like, to be fair, we just stood in the corner laughing and giggling.
Yeah, no, it's there's
that
the
was true
guest
laugh,
list
wasn't
is
it?
Insane.
It's unbelievable.
Stephen Hawking.
Well, not
from
not
beyond
recently.
The
ground now.
No, he's an incredible guest list.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. I mean, well, they still wheel him out, but it's a bit distasteful. But no, he was there. Clarkson, I spoke to him for a while. He's nice.
I heard Prince Harry was there. Is that right?
Never seen him there.
No.
I've seen Beatrice, or the one who looks like she's on drugs.
Yeah, because last week's one.
Got big arms,
did you get? You weren't at last week's one, was you? Was that?
Hold up.
What?
Oh, I'm joking.
Oh, no. Felt chilled.
Oh dear.
Radio X. Gordon Smart. Radio X.
Rob, you got a lovely compliment in the papers today saying that your voiceover is one of the best on telly at the moment.
Oh, really?
Which is on, was it Celebs
Celebs Go Dating? Yeah, that's on at the moment. It's the final week. That's on E4 tonight, about 9, I think. Basically, it's just celebrities going on dates and I just get to rip them apart.
And you do as well. You really give them a pasting, don't you?
Yeah, it's all good-natured fun, most of it. No, it is. But people love it, though, because I think it's funny. They set it all up for you, some of the stuff they say. Yeah. So I want to be that voice at home on the sofa. But what's funny is, though, like, because my wife gets annoyed with me, and like, we had a row the other day, she went, I'm just sick of hearing you going on like that. And she went and sat in the other room, which is the key to a happy marriage, I think, having your own room with a telly in. And she went in there, and I walked past, she was watching Steps Go Dating. She was just sick of me. And then went and listened to me for an hour, but wouldn't actually talk to me live.
Do they send you the tapes and you watch it like a couple of times or?
So that you just go into the it takes about 2.5-3 hours to do it. Like, but I've done 6 series now. I've sat in the same little room with the same headphones for it works out 12 days. 12 lots, over 330 hours of voiceover watching celebrities go on dates.
Do you watch the whole thing once and then?
No, so you just, I do it as I go, because there's a script that sort of like gets the narrative of like, they go, well, they went to this place and who it is and that, and then I add my bits in as I go and just see what happens when I watch it live. So.
Do you have a Clem Fandango type director? Have you seen Toast of London?
Oh yeah. It's a bit. It's not as extreme
it's
as
brutal,
that. But it's funny. We had such a laugh doing it. But what's weird is I do that, and that's quite brutal. But then on Saturday night, All Together Now's on, which is a similar thing of this talent show. Where I go on and I just take the Mickey out of the 100, but in a much more Saturday night 7 o'clock way compared to some of the stuff I come out with at 9 o'clock on E4. So it's quite fun to have two outlets.
So, talking about celebs dating, can you take us through your first date with Matt Morgan?
Oh, our first date.
She had done quite a camp as well, which really. Help.
Yeah, I've got that. I've got a bit of a sort of camp nature about me. We went
slightly camp.
To a driving range.
Well, first of all, we. Yeah, I think that was my idea, wasn't it?
Yeah, because he was worried it was too intense.
We'd made our wives be friends, and then we thought we'd have to go for a drink now.
Yeah,
and then it did feel a bit like a date, like when you have to, but you've got to come up with something good. Yeah. And so I said, let's go at driving range first.
Yes,
just because I was thinking if we go in a pub, it would just be like, I want to get to know him physically as well as mentally.
takes the pressure off the conversation.
There. I got a cab there. I think it's
you're going into a lot of detail about logistics.
All right. we both ended up there where you can drink at this driving range. Yeah,
we had a warm Magnus. I don't know if you're allowed to say brands here. Yeah. All right, a cold Magnus.
Yeah.
Different drinks.
Yeah, no, we bonded over our little, well, both terrible
and then
golf.
We're both terrible golf. But then Matt was talking to me about Krav Maga, this sort of like martial arts thing.
It's really martial art.
And then as he was doing it, he went, because if I did this move, and then I didn't move.
No, you said to me, yeah, well, what happens if I do this? Yeah. So, well, I'll just do this. And I ended up elbowing him quite badly.
So my interpretation of this first
date.
My interpretation of this first date is they both turn up at a golf driving range, got battered and cider, and then Matt Morgan's assaulted you.
Yeah.
And it would have looked bad on the CCTV of the driving range because it wouldn't look like a real fight. And I did, I elbowed him right in the chin.
Yeah, I took it well, didn't I?
You took it well, but you could tell when, you know, when someone's hurt, but they're sort of proud.
Try not to cry.
I have got the head of an ape. Yeah. So I think I've got
If I'd have hit him in the teeth, I would have lost an arm.
You know, when they say, like, if like Mike Tyson punched like an actual gorilla, he would take it easy. Like, I think I've got that sort of head.
Simian elbow.
Brain head. But then after that, what was nice, we got a cab into Bromley and then got drunk till 5 a.m. And you got in trouble because you didn't tell your wife it was going to be out
Also, we were underground.
Yeah, we went to Chestnut. A horrible nightclub. It was really bleak.
We walked past there at about 11 and we said, what time are you open to? And they said 5 and we laughed. And, what sort of idiots are out till 5 in Bromley? What's it called? Voo-voo.
You know, and then it was daylight. I was waiting for a bus in Bromley. Oh, it's awful.
I tried to get him in for free. He said to the bloke next door, he said, can you get us in the Voo-voos for free? I said, he's off the telly. He went, yeah, what's his name? I'll go and ask. He came back and went, no, the bloke said no.
This is Radio X. X.
My big brother, Graham, who was a really talented musician when he was younger, and I remember he went to sing at Perth Town Hall, or Perth City Hall, I think it was, with like a Lithuanian orchestra for some reason. And he was at that vulnerable age, sort of 13, 14, when his voice was breaking. You know, like...
That's quite good was for it 13? A 13-year-old.
13, yeah. So he was singing.
Oh, with a whole choir.
I think he was singing with another girl called Libby Reed, and they were doing One Moment in Time. I think Graham... I know. And Graham was on piano and Libby was singing. And I just remember this classic, wobbly-voiced 13-year-old who was suddenly turned into a man in front of about 600 people. It's the worst time for it to happen. One moment in time. Horrible. So here is the example that I love to go to. I had a couple of drinks. It's just spectacular. So this was at Live Aid, 1985, Wembley, an audience estimated to be somewhere in the billion region. Simon Le Bon, Duran Duran, a James Bond theme. Enjoy this painful moment. Here he goes.
It's not even in... It's not... It just... It's like his voice just went absolutely mad for a second.
Yeah.
Because he goes completely out of his own register. Goes...
It's brilliant when you see how the rest of the band react to it. They all just kind of like twitch and look at them.
Whoops. Sorry, man.
But you know when you go to karaoke and somebody chooses a song that you know reaches that point, you think, this is brave.
Well, you know, like, you think, oh, you've started too high.
Yeah.
You can see it coming. Especially like Take On Me. Like,
oh,
so.
Martin Harkett. Yeah. Aha. Take on. And no, you're not going to get there. You're not going to get there.
I don't know if I ever mentioned I was in a band. We used to do Creep by Radiohead.
Yes.
Which is really easy to sing all the way through because it's just like, you know, it's like... Like that.
That sounds then great, Matt.
It does that high pitch bit. Yeah. That was about as well as I sang it then.
Well, shame I missed out on seeing your band, Matt.
Oh, there's videos.
Yeah,
there's videos.
I'm going to look them up. Right, so here's some other examples that you can go and search for yourself. Right, she is an amazing singer, one of the best of her generation. She's
brilliant. You don't have to do the chat. You don't have to let just say who it is and play it.
Right, Adele.
Ooh. She recovered.
It went a bit wrong there, didn't it? It went a bit wrong. This is good as well, right? Madonna.
Oh,
it's like she's fallen. It's like she's fallen downstairs there, isn't it?
Radio X.
Bum notes from very famous musicians. Over to you, Simon Le Bon. It's all we need. Oh.
What's good is because he's saying this is all we need.
Yeah.
So like it's almost like when you make a mistake. You go, this is all I need.
That was it. It's a View to a Kill, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's Christopher Walken, and that's the Zeppelin when Grace Jones sort of kills people by pushing them at the bottom. It's like he's fallen out of the trapdoor of the Zeppelin, isn't it? It's all we need. Bye, Simon. actually, you know what? Matt Morgan, who's with us this week, Matt, you have actually won. You've trumped that. I didn't know this. It shouldn't really surprise me because Courtney Love is a bit of a volatile performer, but tell us all about this one.
Well, apparently, this is a disgruntled sound engineer who never got paid.
Oh, really?
And who had the recordings from the sound desk, the mixing desk. Now, it looks like she was meant to be just miming.
Right.
But because listen to this. I mean, it's
Celebrity Skin by Hole.
I'm all I want to be. I want to start in demonology. Hey, so glad you could make it. Yeah. Now you really need it. Hey, so glad you could make it. Yeah.
Matt, you know what that sounds like when my daughter gets hold of one of my guitars at the house?
Yeah.
Just mucks about. She's a friend.
One of your guitars?
Yes, I've got a few
players.
Not very well. I'm trying.
Bring one in.
Oh, no. Matt, you're friends with Courtney Love. That was kind of you.
Yeah. No, I was once.
Oh, yeah, that was brilliant.
I don't know. No, not, that doesn't. That sounds like we fell out. I'm not a disgruntled sound engineer.
You're talking yourself into a cul-de-sac of trouble here, aren't you?
I know, it's the hangover.
Get in touch with your... when have your tools let you down? 83936 and at Radio X. You can bend that story as best you please. Matt, have you ever been let down by your joke-writing tools?
Yeah, I've...
all week?
Last year, yeah. My brain. Last year, I was filming a sitcom that I'd written called Mr. Winner, which will be on the BBC at some point this year.
Yeah,
and we were doing the scene. If when you're filming, obviously time is money.
Yeah,
you know, and there's like about 100 people, 120 people, sort of waiting, lighting, everything. And then we were running through the scene, and then the actors realised, hang on, this is like a really old version of the scene that we'd changed in rehearsals. And I was like, oh, you get this feeling because it's all down to me, and then you send the scripts to the script supervisor, and I'd sent the wrong thing. So everything had been constructed around this script. There was even, I think, a prop that was no longer necessary. It's mad. You turn up and someone's built something and you think, oh God, that's gone. And so I ran back to the tray. I was like, oh, hang on, this is, I'll go and find it. And then I was on my laptop and I was going through all these different photos because there's so many versions of the scene. And I was like, where's the latest one? Getting all this sort of adrenaline, trying to stay calm, which is why I could be brilliant in the SAS. And then... and then I found it. I found the right one, but there was no... I couldn't get on the... they've got like a sort of Wi-Fi unit thing. We were in the countryside. And so then I was just like, I don't know what to do. Because each actor then needs to see the script. You can't just bring your laptop into the set and go, look, everyone, I found it. It was awful. It got resolved in the end by them sort of winging the scene.
Did you pretend to faint and just lie on the ground?
I did think about just sort of running into the field. Radio
X. We've got Rob Beckett, the bundle of effervescent joy that he is.
Oh, thank you very much.
Are you ever downbeat, Rob?
I can do, but I do maintain quite a high level of this.
I remember once I texted him, where are you? On the train going home. I said, I'm on the train going home as well. Yeah. He was so excited that we might be on. You walk back, I walk forward.
Yeah, because imagine you're on the same train and plan it. That is exciting, isn't it?
It wasn't the same train, though, it turned out.
No.
I was like, mine's just stopped, and he was like, no.
I walked the length of it twice looking, because I thought he was lying because he couldn't be bothered to get up and find me.
Just people tweeting, going, that Rob Beckett walking up and down the train trying to be recognised.
I know.
No, speaking of recognition, Rob, I wonder if you could help us. Right, do us a little service this afternoon. So Matt Morgan sitting opposite there. Hello, Matt.
Hello.
Very handsome man. 20,000 followers on Instagram.
0.4.
Nearly 20.5 on Instagram. He wants to become one of the country's most important comedy writing social media influencers. Is that correct?
Yes.
Now, Rob, as a man who has a huge following, would you like to put
How many have you got? Look at him pretending.
That was convincing.
It's 270,000-odd
on Instagram.
On Instagram, and over 300,000 on Twitter.
Yeah, that's this good following, right?
Yeah, so, but I don't do Facebook though.
Are you ever sponsored by people as a result of your huge following there?
I get offers to, but I don't normally do it because what you have to do for what you're getting,
right?
It don't normally
that
match
is what
up.
Happened to me with,
is it?
With my bag.
So we should point out, but Matt ruined a bag with Stilton juice we have managed to...
Oh, that was not that bag. That was another bag I once taking Stilton somewhere.
Why are you smuggling Stilton?
Well, you know, it's,
you can't
it
ask
pays
that,
the
Rob.
Bills.
So yeah. my dad goes to Spain, he's what moans about the price of butter. So what he was planning on doing is driving his butter to Spain, but I said it's not going to work. It will melt, and he's reckons there's a way to do it. Anyway, sorry, Stilton ruined the bag.
Yeah, so you needed a new bag. So I introduced Matt to this thing called the Influence Room.
Yeah,
and he turned his nose up at one measly story on Instagram and one post about his lovely new bag.
Stories,
so they were going to give you a bag. Yeah, and what do they want from you?
Two stories, yeah. Which I've never done a story, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to do one later, apparently.
Yeah.
Two, like, feed posts. Yeah. And then one picture of me and a look that I've put together with the bag.
An ensemble.
I mean, how out of character would that be?
That would be really...
Massively out of character.
I've not known you to ever have a bag. I've never seen you with a bag.
I don't want a bag now, I
think
about
it. Which one are you putting in your bag?
Laptop.
Laptop. A Matt Morgan bag, I would imagine, would be on a stick, one of those ones with a handkerchief at the end.
Oh, I love that.
What,
that'll be a hipster thing soon.
A bag on a stick.
So, Rob, can you give us some kind of encouragement or structure that he should follow to become as successful as you have been on the old social media?
Well, I think maybe, though, it's like a lot of influencers are like, hey, look, check out my new sunglasses. It's all very positive and sunny and bikini pictures on the beach and stuff. Maybe you could just do like a sort of a sad version. And try and penetrate that market a bit more.
Yeah.
Not a sad version, but a bit more. You're a bit like, you think you're a bit rock and roll, aren't you?
Well,
you know, you got a beard and like, you know, you wear big boots and all that.
Yeah.
Stomping around on Instagram. Maybe you could do it that way. Do you know what I mean?
No, there is a market there of like tattoo-y, sort of rock and roll-y stuff. Someone suggested I should, what is it? Have you considered being an influencer for some of the doom bands you like?
Yeah.
Type of metal.
Like Electric Wizard.
I don't think you could influence someone to like that music. You either do or you don't.
No, it's an echo chamber, but once you're in, you could be at the top of it. Radio
X. We're doing Slash Gordons, but you're Slash Gordons today. If you haven't heard it before, it's about awkward encounters in the bathroom with famous people, which you can tell at the pub for the rest of your life. We've had some brilliant entries, Matt. If you want to get involved, 83936 and at Radio X. Do you want to start off, Matt?
Yeah, let's have a look. They're all sort of coming from a sort of similar time period.
Similar
which
era.
Which is interesting. Yeah. Maybe it's because we mentioned the Chuckle Brothers. My cousin got his foot stood on by David Bellamy from Dave in Plymouth. If you don't remember him, he was a
good impression.
Hello, I'm David Bellamy and I'm in the garden. Look at the pond, there's a tadpole.
He was a naturalist or is a naturist? Which one is it?
He was clothed, but he was sort of, he was the Terry Nutkins of our generation.
He certainly was. I love this one. Guy, where's he from? How'd you pronounce that? I'm not familiar. Rugeley, is it? Yeah, and he went on holiday 40 years ago. As a 12-year-old boy, I was chuffed to bits to meet Jeffrey from Rainbow. Until I realised he hated kids.
That sounds like he went on holiday dressed up as a 12-year-old boy. Holiday as a 12-year-old boy because it's relaxing.
Oh, dear.
Here's a good one. Hi, Gordon. A couple of years ago, I was finishing my bar shift at a pub in Exeter, Timmy Mallett walked in. Turns out he was exhibiting art nearby.
Yeah.
What? You have to wiggle it at the
camera. He's an artist.
Yeah.
Is he? He's an artist, yeah.
Overwhelmed by seeing a childhood hero of mine, I introduced myself, then shortly after went to the toilet, only to have Timmy rock up next to me. Turns out he isn't shy about chatting at the urinal with his chap out, and we shared a laugh whilst peeing. I got the obligatory selfie with him once back at the bar, Ben in Exeter.
Good old Ben. I've got an amazing Timmy Mallett story for you. When I was at the newspaper, I reunited Timmy Mallett with Mike Myers at the Shrek 2 premiere because Timmy Mallett gave Mike Myers his first job in TV.
Get out of it.
Wide Awake Club, 1984, I think it was.
What, Mike Myers? I thought he was Canadian.
He's got a British... I think his dad's Scottish,
you know? Yeah,
because he was married an axe murderer. He'd!
Yeah.
But his first job was given to him by Timmy Mallett and he opened the door. So I sneaked him into the premiere and he brought, sealed in a bag, he had Mallett's mallet. So when the moment was right, Mike Myers walked in, Timmy Mallett walked across and walloped him on the chops. And we both
How did he take it?
Mike Myers thought it was hilarious. The security guards didn't find it funny and we got horsed out. And then we went and got steaming around the corner from Leicester Square together. It was brilliant.
Does Timmy Mallett dress as Timmy Mallett?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in character quite a lot of the time.
Because you'd imagine if he just wore normal clothes, no one would know who he was.
Yeah. Well, I think the glasses kind of, his trademark, they're kind of like your glasses actually.
Yeah. Well, I've based my whole look on him. Radio X.
Facts.
Here's one for you, Matt, right? The Lowry Hotel in Manchester, a very posh hotel, just before the France World Cup, so that would be 1998. After a warm-up at Old Trafford, I walked into the toilet to Ray Winston briefing Frank Lampard and Rio Ferdinand about how to smash the Germans, it says here.
With all his expertise.
All three of them are at the urinals, taking the last space. I felt slightly unqualified for the lineup. That's brilliant.
I would rather sit in the bar and wet myself than stand in that lineup.
It's James from Fairford.
I'd have more dignity doing that.
Cheers for that, James. We had Ray Winston on last year, and I was asking him about his music taste because he's really into music, and he went, "Well, one of my favourite bands is the Clash." And I was like, do you really need to say Clash like that every time?
Brilliant. He does. Hasn't he got a pub in his garden?
He's a great bloke. Likes a whiskey as well.
Yeah.
And enjoys company. Right, what's this one here?
I was at Glastonbury 1999. I think I was as well. And I was in the toilet queue with Skin from Skunk and Anansie. Yeah. So finally we've got a female one. I mean, it is harder to find a female one because they don't generally wee next to each other. But let's not get distracted. She was very cool, and we talked about the outdoor cinema. Rosie, who's currently on the A36, hopefully not driving.
Cheers for that, Rosie. Now, you know what's funny though, we do actually get quite a lot of female stories because the bathroom conversation tends to happen longer in those toilets.
Yeah,
we had a great one from Catherine Ryan, who I think you know, the comedian.
I don't know her personally, but I know who she is.
I'm going to say assaulted one of the Kardashians.
Did she?
Maybe leave that there, shall we? Yeah, yeah. It was
good. Really? I thought that was a good story. Accident or?
No, I think.
Targeted.
I've had some intent was involved.
Yeah, I've got a female one, but I'll tell you in a little while, maybe.
Good. That's a tease.
A little tease.
Little tease. Here's one.
Go on.
Well, once upon a time, Peter Crouch played for Aston Villa. So this is quite a while ago. While in a bar in Birmingham, I was joined at the trough by the giant. For some reason, we discussed how great Lee Hendry was. It's great, that. I left the hand dryer thinking, what a great bloke. Came outside and I found Peter Crouch hitting on my girlfriend, Dave in Weybridge. Now, we should point out this was pre-Abby Clancy, just to be absolutely clear.
Oh, yes. No, yeah. Of course.
And perhaps they were just talking about dancing. Who knows?
That would have... Like, imagine that. He's such a stick insect of a man, isn't
he?
He's a nice
bloke.
Guy. I've met him once.
He's
but
good,
like,
good man.
Very
good
tall.
Man. Now, Matt, I was going to say to you now, right, every time I look at you and every time we're in each other's company, I always think you could quite easily be in Kings of Leon.
Well, when I had long hair and all that, maybe I could have. I don't know about now.
Yeah, you look like the
sort of grey beard, spectacles. That's, you know,
it's kind of how they look now, isn't it?
Oh, is it? I haven't seen them for a while. In my head, they're still like these golden, beautiful men with long blonde hair and big beards. No,
maybe it's best you're not in that band, actually. But you look like the fifth member, like the followable cousin that was kind of kept downstairs for a while.
Yeah,
not
the one in
down.
The attic who writes all the songs but can't be seen publicly.
In a similar sort of theme, right? Here are the followable clan. This is Nathan Followable telling his / Gordon. I want to get your response to this.
Okay, go on.
Not anyone famous, but my uncle, Matt's dad, actually sang like in this big church choir, like the world we lived before we became this. And like, it was a huge honor to be invited to this choir and sing. And so my uncle was one of the featured vocalists, and which was a huge deal for him. The other featured vocalists, they sang together. So fast forward to 20 years later, we're at a church function. You know, I'm in the urinal sitting there, and then this guy walks in and stands right beside me. I know who he is, but I'm like, you know, whatever. He looks over at me, looks down, looks back up and says, Cameron Followell. I said, excuse me? Said, you must be related to Cameron Followell. And that was Matthew's dad. And I was like, yes, he's my uncle. Like, let me get the hell out of here. Like, this is the weirdest situation I've ever been in my life.
I've got so many questions I want to ask about this.
I was going to say, did Matthew just find out something about his dad?
I just think we resemble each other.
Right.
Wow.
Now, I think I might need to explain a little bit. So that was Caleb Followell speaking to Nathan about a very awkward encounter in the bathroom where a relation recognised him from his undercarriage.
Well, so he recognised him
as
in
a follower.
That way.
Yeah.
But didn't like know anything else about him. So he's just sitting there and went, That's what's going on down there? Is it just size or is it like banana shaped?
Like, did you remember the raccoons?
Yeah, what, at the end of...
Like Cyril Sneer.
Says no, it's at a 90-degree angle at the end, which would be good for urinating, but
pipe cleaner. I've got a mate, Blakey, from Hull, and his nickname is Cyril Sneer because he had a bend. Right, I think we should move that on.
I went out with a girl once who had been out with, and I say that, I think she'd, you know, had a one-night sort of relationship with one of them.
Yeah.
Now I'm a bit worried. Because I think that... Yeah.
Radio X.
That's the Stone Roses. She bangs the drums on Radio X. Gordon Smart and Matt Morgan standing in for Johnny Vaughan, and we've acquired a Rob Beckett as well.
Yes, I'm here.
Rob, is there any reason you came in other than Matt asked you? Have you got anything we need to promote?
All Together Now's on Saturday.
Yep.
BBC One's half seven-ish. Watch
Jerry
that.
Jerry Halliwell
laugh.
And you.
Me, Jerry Horner.
Jerry Actually, Horner.
That's she'll right. be angry with you, Matt. I won't tell you said that. Jerry Horner. Yeah, it's just fun family show. So to go dating on at 9 o'clock. And 8 out of 10 Cats comes back on Sunday on E4.
Excellent.
That's it, yeah. So that's enough hard sell, isn't it?
Job done.
Yeah, job done.
Got that dealt with pretty quickly.
I'm not here about me. I'm here about Matt. He needs to get his influencing sorted, doesn't he?
Right, so Rob, maybe you could suggest some appropriate brands for Matt Morgan to work with.
Maybe clothing, yes. But like rock and roll clothing.
Yes.
Because he's very rock and roll, to be fair to him.
He's got a look, hasn't he?
I invited him around for a barbecue in the summer with his wife and children, and it was the heat wave. The floor was cracking beneath your feet as you walked. It was so hot, right? Yeah. And he turned up in big, thick black jeans, a big pair of boots, and a thick, like, was that a Dickies t-shirt? One of them really thick, heavy
thick
ones.
Boots. That makes sound like a goth.
No, but you know.
A leather trench coat.
Yeah.
And white makeup.
And spiked gelled hair.
So was he sweating profusely?
He couldn't cope.
No,
in the
I
heat.
Thought it was
like
changeable.
35 degrees.
It was changeable in the morning, so I put on jeans and I went around there and he went, oh, you can't wear jeans.
I was basically in a little pair of pants. Topless. And but then I had to go and get him a pair of shorts to put on. And this is shorts.
Shorts he gave.
They were massive. They were really massive.
They were from that.
Yeah, the massive Puma shorts. Why are these shorts so massive? You know when you do a name drop, but you don't want to do it, so you're trying to work around it.
I've got the shorts on.
So he's got his shorts on. Why would you want such big, massive, long shorts? These big, massive, long Puma shorts. It was basically, I interviewed Usain Bolt, and Puma gave us loads of clothes to give him, and he didn't want them, so I took Bolt's
That's good promo for Puma now. Puma are kicking themselves.
See, Matt, that's how influencing
so,
yeah.
So you could be like,
he's just said that they didn't want the Puma clothes. He's just
no,
done
no, we think we forgot to give them to him. I was too busy getting stuff signed to stick on eBay. I'm not doing that. Puma's
no,
I should have sent the Brett
a huge pair of shorts at home. Yes. I might put them on eBay now.
He's so big, Usain Bolt. He's like a human cricket. This massive, long man. And they're too long for you, aren't they, those shorts?
Yeah, they are big shorts.
So there we have them. A Puma, then. You could be the sort of the rock and roll athletic division.
You could be Usain Bolt's body double when he's too busy.
Yes. Yeah, that'll work.
He's a lightning. Right, so
but maybe
got
a more rock and roll sort of clothes.
So, yeah, like, there's a lumberjack thing going on. A lot of check shirts.
Yeah, see, that's
Filson.
Sort of thing,
Filson's a good brand for
Filson,
you.
Filson, yeah.
It's an American brand. Quite rugged sort of, you know, like manly stuff, because he thinks he's a bit outdoorsy, doesn't he?
Yeah, as long as there's good 4G, that's what he said last time.
Yeah. But you went, because you went camping with that bloke, didn't you?
Yeah.
And was the bag too heavy? And you had to carry it?
Yeah, it was too heavy. Well, I'd never.
And he went out on his boat and he's on Instagram, like, just out in the great outdoors. And he was like, the bag's too heavy, carry it for me.
I think I told you this. I went up the. It was, well, he said we're going up a mountain, right? To Lake District. And I could still see the car in the car park at the point where I went, I can't do it. And I took the bag. It was a £70 bag. That's like SAS style.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but I didn't have the bag on properly. I'd only just like got it, and it was all weighted wrong. So I'm wobbling up this mountain, thinking this doesn't feel very stable, and it was making it more exhausting. But he carried my bag up. He took his bag up, came back for mine, carried my bag up, came back. But then I just got my breath back.
How much corned beef did you need on that trip?
Well, that's the thing. When you first go, you take loads of clothes. I was clanking with saucepans.
Yeah. Right, a lot more effort in that first date than mine one, wouldn't it? Take me golf for it, buddy.
Yeah, Krav Maga delivery. Yeah.
Radio X. Gordon Smart. Radio X.
Rob, could you help me with my book? I'm writing a book called Slash Gordon.
Yes.
Right? It was inspired by an awkward encounter in the bathroom with Sean Connery, right? You meet your hero.
Oh.
It's not the best time to meet him.
No.
I said hello to him and he just turned around and said, no, it's not really the time, is it, son? Oh. And that was the start of the book. So I wondered who the most famous person Sean Connery had bumped into in the toilet.
Yeah.
And the last 10 years or so, we've got 120 stories of famous people talking about bathroom encounters. So Mumford & Sons met Bob Dylan. But
is this a pitch for a publisher's?
Sorry, it's past that stage.
Oh, he's done. All right, you got it. I was going to say, I'll invest.
Robbie, here's the deal.
Where can I read it?
Have you got a story for us? Have you got a slash?
Well, earlier on today, actually, me and Frankie Boyle shared a waste room, as I like to call them.
that's an intimidating bedfellow. Is that the right word?
Yeah. Also, we're very different. Really? Like, he's a very lovely,
a lovely
normal
man.
Bloke. When you just speak to him normally on stage, he's a bit more like acerbic and stuff. But he's very, I'd say a very relaxed, chilled user of a toilet. I couldn't recommend someone higher enough to share a toilet with.
Clean. Like cubicles next to each other.
No, he as I was coming in, he was just finishing off.
Ah, right.
So I got the tail end of his, and he got the start of mine.
Did you say anything to him? You just a little nod, or a...
I just went great flow, strong flow.
Matt's just added to the book a second ago, haven't you, Matt?
Yeah, I came out of the toilet here doing the old classic drying your hands because they're a bit wet. Had to shake hands with Nigel Farage.
Had to.
I mean, he's a hero, isn't he? He was in the middle of a conversation with Gordon, and then Gordon went, "This is Matt," so I had to shake hands with him.
Yeah, all right.
It seemed rude.
Strong, nice handshake.
Yes, strong. Oh, can I say that he smells of booze and fags?
Matt knows that because Matt...
It smells like pubs used to smell in the 80s.
In the good old days.
When you went in... What's happened to that smell?
Well, what Matt hasn't told you, Rob, is that Matt kissed them. That's how he knows he smells like that.
Yes, wow. Tastes of Benson and Hedges and fine brown ale.
It was a really, really intimate moment. It's beautiful.
It's a special moment.
Rob, thanks for coming in. You're on loads of stuff at the moment. Any one thing in particular that we should point people towards that you haven't mentioned? Perhaps?
I'm on tour.
He's on tour.
Bollock.
I've never seen him live.
He's
just the bloke who lives near me.
I know, you wait, mate. You're going to be really, really going to love it.
I can give him a critique here because I saw Rob perform at Freddie Flintoff's cricket night up there.
Oh, that was a tough gig.
Tough room, but you did brilliantly. You did really
thank
well.
You very much. Well, if you want to see me not perform in front of cricketers at a charity do, come to my tour. Wallop, robbeckettcomedy.com.
Are you doing Bromley? Because
I'm doing Croydon. That's
Uber.
Near enough for you.
That'll do.
Yeah.
There you go. robbeckettcomedy.com. Get a ticket. Go and see him.
Cheers,
buy five and bring some friends with you.
Yes. Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
This is Radio X.
This is brilliant. I've got to share this one, Matt, right? A wedding photographer's got in touch with us and he's asked for his name to be kept out of this because he thinks it might be a bit naughty. But it's a funny story nonetheless.
Okay, cool.
One person in the country will know who this is about, though. So the story goes that he was doing the usual university graduation shots with the mortarboard and the scroll. And he says that he also happens to smoke a pipe. So he was changing film in the camera, which dates it slightly, and he put his pipe down on the table where the mortarboard and scroll was sitting for the students to get the picture taken. So one punter who was about slightly nervous to get his picture taken, that will forever live on his parents' mantelpiece or piano, panics slightly, picks up the mortarboard, puts it on, and picks up the pipe, thinking it's a prop. Nobody says anything to the poor lad. So in his graduation pictures,
he's got a pipe.
Pipe in his mouth.
Because I suppose it's why, like, the pipe, out of all those, like, you wouldn't, like, it's weird, isn't it? The stupid hat, the scroll, you would just think, obviously I've got to hold that pipe and go...
I know. Here I am, my learned son, with his pipe of intelligence. You got one for us, Matt.
There's a few people have texted in their things. I'm an engineer and I remember trialling a new CNC machine. Anyone know what that means?
I don't know what that is, no.
Nah. It cost in excess of $1 million.
Wow.
And with about 10 members of senior management watching, I proceeded to crash it hard. £40,000 worth of replacement parts later and a lot of egg on my face. I think that's not, yeah, I don't think it was an egg machine.
Radio X.
When amazing musicians make an absolute Le Bon of it. That's Simon Le Bon at Live Aid. Do it one more time, Vin.
It's all we need.
Oh, it's painful, isn't it? So when have your tools ever let you down? 83936 at Radio X. Matt Morgan, can I tell you a little story here from one of our listeners? Simon Farrell in Birmingham. This sounds painful. Hello, Gordon. I was working for GEC Alfsom, a quality engineer. One of my mates was in charge of the autocoupler units. Apparently, they're the things that connect train carriages together. And it was on the Jubilee line, London Underground. Anyway, they were unveiling the new units with all of the executives. When the trains came together to connect, both units fell off in spectacular fashion and crashed to the ground. I burst out laughing. He ran off to hide. One of the funniest things I've ever seen. Cheers, Simon Farrell. It's good, that, isn't it?
Wow.
Laughing at your mate's horrible moment of...
I think that's called the flange and the something else that fell off then.
Well, thanks, Matt.
Just a bit of train knowledge I have. I actually saw a train spotter on the train today.
Did you?
Yeah, it was just an old bloke, but he was on the train. I thought they were in a stand at a station.
Yeah.
And he was really... we go past, like, where there's, like, you know, like a train park thing, where there's loads of trains parked. I'm sure it's got a word. What's it called? Depot. And he was really hurriedly scribbling down the numbers of the trains. I thought, what are you doing?
Yeah. Dad.
What am I doing? There's one here from Paul. And he says, my dad used to operate a machine that made cotton wool balls. I mean, that's great job.
What a gig.
And bagged them from at the end of the line because he had been the longest serving worker there, 30 years, cotton wool balls. He was chosen to do the test run of said machine in front of several of the Japanese manufacturers and no end of his factory bosses. He started the machine and the dust got up his nose. He sneezed and false teeth flew into the workings. And they'd shut... This is like Wallace and Gromit or something. They had to shut it down and get cleaned out, which took about 3 days from Paul.
Paul didn't really feel his second, it was actually Paul Chuckle.
Yeah.
It's absolutely brilliant. Right, but we're going to go back to the music now, right? Because we've had some brilliant suggestions from people, things that we can check out on YouTube. Musicians having a horrible moment. Now, I never knew about this, and Tanya's just pointed out. For all the years we've heard this song, I had no idea there was a mistake in it, right? So Tanya says, my favourite example of your tours letting you down in music is the intro to Roxanne, where one of them sits on the piano, they laugh, but they chose to leave it in the record. None of us knew about this, did we? Right, so here it is. You have to listen quite carefully, but we'll do it twice. Have a little listen to Roxanne by Police. I've heard the laugh before, but I didn't hear the unmistakable.
It's discordant, it's not in tune with the song, so I'm surprised. Yeah. Sting must have done that, because like, I remember watching a documentary about them, and he was like yelling at all the others. Yeah. So if anyone else had done it, it wouldn't have got left in.
It must have been.
Yeah. I mean, he did it, then laughed when I meant to do that.
It was angular. It was the unmistakable comedy noise of a piano being sort of dropped.
Yeah.
Dying. This is the best one, though, we think, right? Yeah. So please, if you're in your car at the moment, if you're in the kitchen or you're at work, just turn up your radio just very slightly and enjoy the majesty of Girls Aloud without Optune. I'm not the loving kind. Radio X. Gordon Smart and Matt Morgan are here with the wonderful Martin Compston, also known as the drinking women's Leonardo DiCaprio. Greenock's finest, Scotland's best. DS Arnott, AC12, all the rest of it coming out on March the... when is it?
End of March? Sunday, 9pm. Next Sunday, BBC One, 9pm.
Whoa, it's going to be massive, isn't it? How many people, 20 million, watched the last episode?
No, I think that was Bodyguard. Thanks for that, Gordon.
You brought it up? I would have lied. 40 million watched it.
Yeah, 200 million.
That's Jed Mercurio's a genius. Now, something we always laugh about, you and me, Martin, is that when we have a conversation like the other night when we were all out for dinner, nobody understood what we were talking about, which was quite helpful, really, because we were discussing terrible stuff. I've got a little test for you, right? Do you know the Glaswegian and west coast of Scotland, what I would be talking about if I mentioned Alberoni?
Alberoni?
Do you know what Alberoni is?
Do you play for somebody? Is that a player?
No, it's All Bar One.
Is it?
All Bar One.
All Bar One.
The Glaswegian guy said, you want to go for a drink in that All Bar One, son?
Oh, right. Yeah,
All
right,
Bar
right.
One. So today is an important day for the Oxford English Dictionary because 650 new words have been added. I think 80 of them happen to be Scottish words. Words that are familiar to me and Martin. Matt Morgan, you're a lyricist, a writer, a beautiful man, a wordsmith, a talented man.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, well, kind of. and we're going to test you now to see if you can work out the genesis or the meaning of the words that have been added to the Oxford English Dictionary.
Go on.
Mark, would you
why
like
is
to
there
go
so many Scottish ones? That's weird, isn't it?
Because
it's like they've ventured up there for the first time.
Creative.
It's Brexit. Is it?
Preparing for independence.
We'll try to keep us in.
I know, we're trying not to tell Martin that Nigel Farage is next door.
By admitting.
Right, Martin, would you like to choose one of the new words added to the dictionary to see if Matt can guess what it means?
Boffin.
Do you want to put it into context for him as well, in a sentence of your choice?
Say it in a sentence.
That's Boffin.
Like, Gordon's pink jacket is Boffin.
That jacket is
Boffin. How are you spelling that?
B-O-W-F-I-N-G.
Boffin. I'd say that means that's weirdly pink and not something a man should wear.
And well, it's along those lines, you're right. It's not something a man should wear, but it just means horrible. As you see, Gordon's
Boffin.
Quite upset about that. Quite upset about that. Leave me alone. Did you ever watch that Spelling Bee documentary?
No.
When there were these kids being tested spelling, and if they didn't understand, can I have the origin, please?
Yeah.
At you right now. Right, how about this? Bide Inn.
Bide Inn.
Yeah.
Near the pub?
Try again. I'm trying to think of a way to put it in. Katie Morgan is your Bide Inn.
It means, wife, then.
Well, actually, I've broken the rules here because you're actually married to her. But if you've got a bidey in, it's somebody that lives with you that you might not be married to yet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm. A bidey in.
A bidey in. Yeah, so what's that mean? Like a
person who lives with his or her partner in a non-marital relationship, a cohabiting partner. So I could have mentioned a couple of other people in your case.
Like a baby mama sort of thing.
Yes.
A bidey in.
Go on, Martin. You got another
one? He's a good one, actually. Hee-haw.
Hee-haw.
Yeah.
Is that what you guys call a horse?
So it's spelled H-E-E-H-A-W.
Do you want to go for a sentence again, Martin?
I've
go
got on. Hee-haw.
I've got hee-haw.
Aye, he's got hee-haw.
Does it mean you're hungover?
No.
Sorry, that was a bit racist.
Well, I think you'll find I'm incredibly offended. We're only drinking days that end in Y, me, Martin. You got it?
No, I don't know what it is. Hee-haw. Right,
so, yeah, if I said Martin Compson's got hee-haw talent,
he's a got, lot.
No, none.
Thank you, man. Oh, none.
So it's almost like a soundy like, isn't it?
Aye. He's yeah. Hee-haw.
Yeah, we're both trying not to swear here, aren't we?
That's it.
Absolutely not. I'm going to give you
I've
one more.
It's usually money. I can't be yeah. buying another word.
I'm trying to find the ones that aren't insulting. What are we going to go
do
for
Do you
here?
Know all of these, or are these some of these
No, there's a couple
to...
I don't know, actually,
Martin.
I don't
Martin. Get either. But I think he's a cracker. Curry.
Curry, yes, curry.
Is that something you eat with rice?
No, so Martin and his beautiful wife, Tiana, will often curry in of an evening. And drink Iron Brew.
Argue?
Well, you that, know that them too. So well. You know them so well. Well
cuddling.
Matt, cuddling. Ah, like to cooch, like the Welsh word.
Ah, yeah,
cooch.
Yeah.
I thought that was something. No. I think he did pretty badly there, didn't he, Mark?
Yeah.
We're not going to speak
well,
to you
I don't
again.
Think some of these words should get into the dictionary. A, it's the Oxford English Dictionary.
All right, see you
and there
later,
isn't a B because I was so good.
If you weren't so good at Krav Maga, we'd have a little chat about this afterwards.
This is Radio X.
We've got your chance to win £30,000 and it will give you total freedom. I asked you yesterday, I think you panicked when I suggested that I was going to give you £30,000. If you were to get £30,000 to be set free, what would you do?
Well, most people would pay off their debts, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
In a really boring way.
Yeah. What would you do? Come on, do something extravagant.
I want a car that I can sleep in.
It's not this toilet ambulance again, is it?
No, that's something else. I mean, actually, yeah, that's what I would do with £30,000. I'd set up my app, which is like Uber, for people who like to have a nice toilet experience, no matter where they are, right? Yeah. Now, it's honestly a genuine idea. You have the app, and you say you're somewhere, and you think, oh, I need to go to the toilet, number two, or number one. Yeah. Right? You're in a pub, it's busy, whatever. And this ambulance, I call it an ambulance.
The Brown Cross.
Yeah. The Brown Cross turns up. And then the man or woman who drives it, you just like get in the back. They're like, there's a screen. They're not even aware
like
of what's
going on. Like a Securicorp kind of driver.
Yeah. They pull up your code that's on your phone. You just swipe your way in. You go in. It's a beautiful cubicle that's clean between each person. It's got everything you need. It's got deodorant, breath fresheners. It's got everything. It's clean. It's nice. It's soundproof.
Yeah.
You can do what you need to do. You come out. It probably costs about $450 a go. Maybe $350, I don't know.
Is it like Poober? Somebody in text has just won that. You've got to give credit to 489.
Poober. That was Poober. Quick.
Yeah, Brown Cross. But here's the thing, it's like those sort of variable rates that they have. If it's a particularly unpleasant experience, does the rate go up from $450, Matt?
I think if you're in there too long, it goes up a little bit. Like you can't take the mickey, you can't just go in there and, you know, I think... you can't do anything weird in there. It's one person at a time.
Yeah.
Just establish that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think it would, you know, and also it could be combined with a trip home. It's coming good. To me now.
Well, you know, somebody's
you could
mentioned.
Go, take me home.
Yeah.
But on the way, I'm going to, you know,
well,
go
I can
to
tell
the
you,
toilet.
Because you've mentioned Poober now, there is a rival coming back. It's the brown cabs, not the black cabs.
Oh.
It's like a much more luxurious experience.
No, this is not...
You have to do the knowledge.
I think this is a sort of mobile little caravan thing.
So with Matt's £30,000, he's going to launch Poober. Good man. Right, so we've got your chance to win £30,000. It's going to give you total freedom. It's all thanks to new pay-as-you-go on three, which comes with benefits like Deliveroo and possibly at some point...
Poober.
Brown Cross. To enter, share a photo on Twitter or Instagram showing us why you need to be set free. Tag us using @RadioX and hashtag setmefree. I'm worried about the pictures that are going to get sent in now.
Deliver poo. Radio X.